Well, coming to the square wave, as I say, is a square wave with a positive and a negative side. So the upper being positive, the lower below the line is negative. See, now, in the foghorn signal, the line at the top represents the RMS, the maximum height, is 22 volts. And it's going into 4 ohms, in which case you're drawing about 5.5 amps. Now, when this goes then into the into a horn, you see, now a horn, an exponential horn, not a cone, an exponential horn has a cutoff point, as you know, which in the one I'm using, the cutoff point is 135 cycles. Now, at 135 cycles, if the cutoff point, for instance, we'll use round figures. If the cutoff point, or I'm working the horn, the fundamental going into the horn is 150 cycles. At 300 cycles, there'll be the harmonic, which will be the second harmonic, the fundamental being the first. Now, the third harmonic will be three times 150, and it will be quite high. It'll go higher than the original sound. And this will go on and on and on up to about 2,100 cycles. And so you'll get about 17 harmonics out of this horn.
But they're all octaves.
But they all come off the square wave, because the square wave is not a sine wave. It'll pull them off wherever the resonant point of the horn is, you see. Because it's a square.
In other words, it's the horn, the shape of the horn that determines.
That determines which harmonics come out.
Okay, so
because the square wave is just a square wave.
Yeah, it's not, in other words, it's not just the octave harmonics that are. You talked about
no,
the first
there'll be
harmonic.
The octave harmonics and there'll be octaves of octaves. Now, I can show you after an actual graph of what I've got them here. I got the machine for drawing it. So when you put a sine wave in, the sine wave will only be 707 or 606. It'll be the 0.606 or 0.7636 or 0.707 of the height will be the root mean square of the height, see? Now, you know how that was arrived. We can go on the boiling kettle and DC and AC. You know all that experiment, maybe. But,
no, I don't actually.
But we can go to that after. But in the square wave, if the peak to peak on this, from one peak to the other peak, it would be 44 volts.
Right.
And if it was a sine wave, it would be 44 volts peak to peak. But the RMS wouldn't be 44 because your area is a smaller, you're on a different radius, see? Now, no matter when you add, whatever you add to a sine wave, you always seem to reduce its area. If you put three notes into and put three sine waves together instead of gaining, you actually lose on the decibel meter. You see, you might have 100, for round figures, 120 decibels.
Yeah.
And you put three of them together, you say, now we're going to have something. You might have 119, you might have 121 decibels. Now, according to the real scientists in the university man will say, but you should have a gain of 3 decibels. Mm. But you never do when you mix notes. But if you put the same notes together, there's no interference, that is to say, interference or stealing from one to the other. It's in phase, the two notes are in phase, and they're a half phase apart, then they add to one another. You'll get 3 decibels gain at a certain distance. Now, we're using in this. I'm using 5 meters in my scientific. I think in meters this way.
Uh-huh.
Now the standard is at 4 feet, but the multiples of 4 go 4, 8, 16, 32. Now 25 feet's the other standard. So you've got a bit of a calculation problem if you work at 25 feet. So then if you can't get at 25, I measure at 12 feet, 12 and a half feet. Now then, 6 decibels, you'll lose 6 decibels if you double the distance. If you have the distance, you'll gain 6 decibels.
Right. Okay.
Now,
well,
if you
doubling this, the power of the sound,
no, you're only gaining, you're not in power. Now, acoustical power is another thing. You're only gaining the sound pressure level on a square centimeter, is what it's the sound pressure SPL that you're getting.
Okay.
Sound pressure level SPL, you see. Now, a lot of people say to me, they say, in Ottawa, they say, but look, we can get 132 decibels. Well, I was there 2 weeks ago. special trip on this. I said, just forget about the decibels. If you go up to 550 cycles, you get 132 decibels. You'll hear it at about 2 miles. If you'll drop the frequency down to 200 cycles, you'll hear it further, but you won't get 132 decibels. They said, I can't believe that. Well, I'll prove it to you. So I took their diaphone, and I've got the figures here. I measured it with a dB meter. I'll show you another dB meter here. And we took a tape, and I took 12 and a half feet, and I got the loudness. And the diaphone is going basically it's running at about 150, ooh, like this. And then when it shuts off, it goes, yeah. The idea being, what causes this, Dr. Thiessen buggered the diaphone up for them for a while. He put an exponential curve on it. It won't work with an exponential curve. It will only work on a cone, and a wide open cone. Now, a cone has the first harmonic, and then it has the second harmonic is higher. Second harmonic is greater than the first. So when the horn blows on a diaphone, it immediately blows on its going back and forth like this, the piston. It sounds on its second harmonic. Ooh, and then when it shuts off and the piston slows up, ooh, it goes on to the next harmonic. Ooh, like that. Ooh, like that. Ooh.
That's what it is.
It's only the shape of the cone. It governs the harmonics, you see.
Yeah, right.
Now, when it goes...
What if that were a horn?
Well, it won't. It hasn't got a strong enough harmonic to make it do it. It'll go, or shut off, see. But if it's a cone, it's a different shape.
Yeah,
it's a different shape, and I can draw you the curve of this. So it blows on the first harmonic quite easily,
yeah.
On the second harmonic. And then when it's shutting off, it resonates on its fundamental.
Yeah.
Now, on the fundamental was 3 to 3.5 decibels, exactly 3 decibels less than the main tone. The fundamental was 3 decibels lower than the first harmonic with a decibel meter. So it went, ooh, see, ooh, that's what it goes, ooh, like that, see. So now, when you get the on the end, this is what they hear the furthest. They can go out 10 miles to sea and they say, I don't hear the horn, but I hear the grunt. You can hear the grunt. They all admit. Then somebody says, well, I don't think the grunt's just as loud. Well, you don't think it's louder. Will you agree that it is as loud? So they said, yes, we'll agree it's as loud. Then I says, and the grunt is half the frequency. You'll agree, yes. And the grunt is 3 decibels down. It's half the energy. Well, yeah, no, I says, it's the energy is there. You've got to have the energy to have heard it. But it takes more energy for a long wave. A long wave takes more energy than the short wave. You see, if you drop a pebble in water, it makes a little tiddly wave that runs out somewhere around the end of the pond here.
You've got more matter to push through.
You drop a great bloody big boulder in the water, and it goes ka-plunk, and you'll see a wave going out there, and if you dropped a battleship in the water, the wave would go from here to Vancouver Island. They'd be longer waves, see? So an earthquake wave travels a long way, where a short wave dies right now. So when you get the 3 decibels down on a lower tone, you still have the energy.
Yeah.
The energy. The energy, the acoustical energy. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to explain. You can take 400 watts and beam it with an exponential horn and get two of them and beam it together and put a decibel meter 25 feet away and get 132 decibels. You say, Christ, we're loud as the diaphone. Jesus, you get out a half a mile and you say, where is it? It's gone. The diaphone's still, whoa, you see. Now, the diaphone is taking a 10 horse motor to pump the air, and it's running a tenth of the time, right? The motor runs, and it pumps air up for 54 seconds, and then the diaphone goes, and it drops it, and the next 54 seconds it brings it up again. So in 10%, it's 10% of the time, so there's 100 horsepower. It would require a 100 horsepower motor to blow that diaphone full tone. And 100 horsepower is 74,000 746 watts in a horsepower, 7,460 watts or something, 74,000 watts. Now we're trying to do this now with 400 watts. So the acoustical power now, there's a calculation now to get the acoustical power out of a sound. Now the only way you can get the only known method of getting the acoustical, there's no instrument can tell you. There's only one way of doing it, and that is measuring the sound on a sphere. You got to measure the sound on a sphere.
On a sphere.
On a sphere. And you've got to divide the sphere up into a dodecahedron or a dodecahedron or an isosahedron. It's 20 sides, see. Now, you can only divide that's the most even numbers you can divide a sphere into. Now, Archimedes found this out. And if you go into any more areas, they're not even, but they're Archimedean triangles. See? Mm-hmm. So if you take...
How big does that have to be?
Well, the sphere I'm using, a sphere is 5 meters radius. Yeah.
That's the same size as the one they have in New York.
Well?
At the Columbia University.
All right, I'm using 5 meters. Now, just a second. Hold it. This point is the apex of this. And this one is that one. And that one is that one. See? And this one is this one. So this one has the same number of... This has the same number of points. What are the apexes? And edges, that one is the complement of the other, where this has 12 sides, this has 12 something. This has 12, this has 12.
12 points.
This has 20 points, this has 12 flats.
Mm-hmm. But how many points does that have?
You mean this has 20 sides.
This is a 20-sided.
Right, and 12 points. Right?
And 12 points,
right.
That's right.
This has 20 points and 12 sides.
That's exactly right, see. So to do the sound right, you've got to get, this is the only sensible way to do it. You go on a 12-sided figure. And you take a reading there, take a reading here, reading here, reading here, reading here, 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 here. Then you average these logarithmically from a formula, and you come up then with the average acoustical power on a sphere.
And when you measure it, it's just from one point, one source, eh?
The sound is coming from one source. And you put a horn in there, you assume that to be a point source. So
in
I use
the center of the sphere, right?
Yes, in the dead center.
Oh, I see. Right.
Now, I use this to say that's the microphone placement. That's where you put the microphone. So it comes quite simple. You got the North Pole, the South Pole, the Tropic of Cancer, and the Tropic of Capricorn around here, just about 26 degrees in the same place. So you have a boom. And the boom goes up here, takes this. Then you drop the boom down, and the boom then goes around in a circle and stops on these points. Then you drop the boom, you go around on this circle, and you can't get the bottom, so you assume it's the same as the top. Then you make your calculation, and you find that 400 watts of input gives you exactly 242 watts of acoustical power, which is 40% efficient.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I have the
calculation. That's for a horn that you...
Well, that's for anything on acoustical power. You've got to take it on a radius. For power, but for loudness, for sound pressure level, you see, the trouble is...
So when you talk about acoustical power, you're talking about pressure on a square centimeter, right?
No. That's loudness.
That's loudness. Okay. See, let me do it with an analogy of light. If you take... I got lots of tape you run out. If you take... a flashlight, and take the top off and set it on a post out in the old golf course here, you don't know whether it's a firefly or what it is. You couldn't get a reading. It's just a little pinpoint of light out in the middle of nowhere. But take then and put the reflector on and screw it up and point it and focus that in and take a meter. You'll say, well, it's got so many lumens. This is a powerful light. But if you move off an inch anywhere, it's got no power. It's only powerful on the beam. Now, a horn does the same thing. A horn is on about a 16-degree beam of sound, and right in the middle it's very intense, and it's only got one-tenth of the acoustical power at the back, see, because it's a logarithmic scale that you're using, see? And it's got less power at the sides than at the front. So to find out how much acoustical power, how much air, that's got to shake a sphere of air a mile or two in diameter. It's got to have a lot of power to do this. So if it's beamed out here, it's only shaking a little beam of air out here. See, a little cone of air, see, from a point here out into like a cone. And it just attenuates. But if you've got a lot of power, then you'll find that the power here, 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 and all around in all directions, you average this power out, then the sound pressure level at those points and calculate it. It will give you the acoustical power that thing has. Now, you'll find to get this acoustical power, you've got to put power in. And where they've all fallen down on this foghorn problem is they're trying to do it with 400 watts, and they're trying to compete with 75,000 watts. And there's just no comparison. That horn on top of the BC Hydro takes about 100,000 watts to when it blows. That's the acoustical power of that thing.